So today we're going to continue on in our series, which really covers our mission, our vision, and our core values as a church. So first, I just want to recap very quickly about our mission, which was, anybody remember what that was about? Even in one word, what our mission is? Okay, that was vision. That's okay. Stories. Okay, our story.
Jesus.
So that we want to share our story so that others can have their story with him, okay? And then our vision statement is really just we want to be ambassadors of Christ, okay? So you're going to hear that a lot from us. Mm-hmm. And that's going to get interwoven in most of our messages. I just want you to know that because that's our core beliefs. So if anything you hear today might sound like, hey, I've heard that before here, there's a reason for that. I just want you to know that and prepare you for that, okay? So today we're going to be getting into the first of our core values, which is unity. We have, six core values now? We just added one. So we have unity, multiplication, generosity, transparency, service, and worship. Right. Thank you for your help, Ashley.
Trying to just remember our church. You
right,
know.
Exactly. Yeah. So to start off, so unity, our little quote that goes with unity, what we believe about unity is that we are compelled by love for the sake of the person next to you.
Because ultimate unity is about other people, right? We hear that word unity and we know that. We know that means I'm unified with other people. And in the church, that's kind of a buzzword, right? We know that Christ has called us to be unified together. But when we look into scripture, there's actually a process for unity, meaning we don't just walk in this door on the third week of Village Church and all of a sudden we're unified. It's not like, oh, we're here, so that means we're unified, right? Because I'll bet you, and we're not going to go too far into this, everyone in here might be voting for a different person for president. Everyone in here might be a different place in their life even, right? Yeah. Some people might be single. Some people might have been have 8 kids. Some people might have no kids. Some people might be 20. Some people might be 80, right? So it's kind of a miraculous thing. You know, it's not enough just to walk in here and say, we're unified. Because really, if you look at each person, maybe it doesn't seem that way. So there's a healthy process that the Bible lays out for how do we foster unity? What does that mean in our lives? And so that's why we're going to talk about that today. Cody said that it's a core value of this church, meaning there are 6 foundations of Village Church, and unity is at the top of those. Mm-hmm. So.
Right. Okay, so we're going to be reading today out of Colossians. So if you have your Bibles or you have your phones, if you want to open or click over to Colossians 3, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 17 this morning.
Which we want to let you know, too. In your bulletin, you'll see on the inside, there's a notes section. And so there's like a fill in the blank. So as the slides come up and as you're listening, if you struggle to listen, some people are like, what, Facebook? You know, it's just how we are as people. So if you struggle to listen, you can open that up and you can take notes as you go. So.
All right. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds of one body, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we want to pull a main point out of this passage that we believe is centering around unity. And that is that your story with Christ is lived out in unity.
In the scripture, in John 13:35, you don't have to turn there, it says this really powerful thing. Jesus says, they will know you are my disciples by your love. Meaning, how you love each other is how people will see me. Which essentially he's saying, when you're unified, people see me. And so you can see that unity is a core value of Village Church. If we're saying our stories are important, that your personal story, the story that you have, that Christ has rescued you from, the world needs that story. Mm-hmm. And we're saying, in that story, when you go out and tell that story, you are an example, an ambassador of Christ. You are somebody going out as if Christ, the word says, is making his appeal through you. You're the one that he's going to use to bring people into relationship. But it's not enough to just do that on your own. It's not enough to say, well, I have a story and I'm an ambassador, so I don't need anyone else around me. Because scripture says, but they will know you're my disciples really, truly, not by how well you tell that story, but by how you love each other. That's an incredible thing, if you think about it. And it's something that we have to be tenacious about. And I say that because, you know, unity doesn't just happen, okay? It's not something like, yeah, and those of you that are married know that, right? The Bible says two become one, but it doesn't just happen, right? It's not like, oh, that was easy. They walk down the aisle, it's done. We're totally one. We never struggle. We have the same goals and ideas about life, right? If you look at them, if those of you are like, yes, amen, amen. Been married almost 10 years this year. But it takes intentional effort to foster and maintain unity on that kind of level, the level that the world looks at Village Church, the way that we love each other, and the way that we operate in fellowship and unity together, and they see Jesus Christ. That takes intentionality. And I think, too, what we're going to talk about today, I think a lot of us have a half understanding of what unity is. We think, okay, we come together as a church, that's it. But there's really more to it. And this passage unpacks this full understanding of what it means to be unified.
Right. So if our story with Christ is lived out in unity, then we can ask the question, how does that unity unfold in our lives? So we're going to set up today, this passage really sets up that there's levels to unity and that it's kind of a process that you have to go through to really be truly unified, right? So the first step in the process is that unity begins when God bridges the gap. And that's outlined in literally the first half of the first verse here. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ. So there's kind of an assumption here at the beginning of this passage that you've been raised with Christ already to go to move forward in this. Mm-hmm. See, God bridges the gap for us, and that's how we can even begin the process of unity. Okay? He made it possible. He sent his son to die for us, right? So that we could be in relationship with him and that our brokenness could be set aside and we wouldn't have to live in that anymore. There's this, everybody know what a tract is? It's like a little pamphlet that they used to hand out, right? And it would like give like a really basic step-by-step story of how to become a Christian, right? I remember many times I've been handed one. By people, and it's usually like a timid thing. Like I was working at a booth at a camp one time, me and my youth group friends, and we were selling tickets, and this lady drove up and she bought a ticket and she threw a pamphlet at me. She threw the tract at me and she drove away as fast as she could. She's like, oh, I'm sure her pastor that week was like, everybody needs to give one of these tracts away this week, and that was her duty, you know, like, and it hit me in the chest, and I'm like, I'm good, thanks, like, that's great, you know. But there was an old tract that had this really profound picture on it. And it was like, there's this ledge on one side. It's kind of a big cavern, right? Think of like the Grand Canyon, okay? God's on one side, we're on the other. And that Grand Canyon represents our sin and our brokenness, right? And we all have that cavern that we can't cross on our own. It's an impossible distance to go on our own. But what Jesus did on the cross is he bridged that gap. He made it possible so that we could then go across that, no longer worry about the great expanse beneath us and the wages of our sin, as the Bible calls us for, of death, yes. Whatever. Anyway, so like
whatever that is.
That pit just represented our brokenness, right? Mm-hmm. And it's still there. It could still be there, but that bridge is offered as a gift for us to be able to cross so that we can come into a relationship with God, right? Everybody get that? We've been going over that the first several weeks in our sermon series here, but we want to give you one more chance before mm-hmm. we move on. Because this passage, like I said, it's vital that there's an assumption here, right? That you are in relationship with God before you can move forward in this. So I'm going to give a salvation message really quickly. If you've been on the fence, maybe you've heard our messages. If you've been on the fence about really fully committing your life to God, we want you to do that today. We want to give you that opportunity today. So I want everybody to close their eyes. We're going to go through the ABCs, as easy as it is, okay? We're going to accept that we need God in our lives, and that we have sin in our lives, we have brokenness. We're going to believe that Jesus can be the bridge for that gap. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to commit ourselves to living our life for Christ, okay? So I'm going to pray a prayer. Father God, pray it with me if you need to. Father God, we accept that we need you, that we desperately need you. We can't fix our brokenness on our own. We believe that you are the only way, the only truth, the only life, and that no man comes to the Father except for you, Jesus. We believe that. And we today want to commit our lives to you and to whatever you have for us. We want to leave behind our brokenness, and we want to move forward in your story of reconciliation with us. Thank you for that promise. Thank you that you've done that for us. Thank you for that gift. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Now, if you've prayed that prayer, one, angels in heaven are rejoicing with you, and we are so excited about that, but we want to know. We have connection cards that are in your bulletins, and there's a little space down there that says, I have accepted Christ for the first time, or I have recommitted my life to Christ today. We want to know. We want to be able to talk to you about that. We want to be able to encourage you in that and just rejoice with you in that. So please do that today. All right, that's that part, so we're going to move on. Yeah.
So unity starts with that. So unity starts when God bridges the gap. And if you just cross that bridge this morning, you're on your way. You're on your way to this incredible thing. Secondly, we see when after he bridges the gap, unity continues first on a personal level. Okay, it doesn't mean, now I come in here and now I'm unified, but it continues on a personal level. If you see in the scripture, it says, since then you've been raised with Christ, okay, since he bridged the gap for you, there's a command, set your hearts on things above.
Yeah.
He instantly goes in. So now there's a part that you play mm-hmm. in this story. I make the bridge, and then you set your hearts on things above. And he says here, things like put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Yeah. And then he says, even farther down, he says, rid yourself of these things. And I'm going to read these things to you really quick because not one of us is exempt from this, okay? It says, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. And then he says later on, rid yourselves of things like anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Everyone's like, ooh. Some of you might have that down. Pray for me. So with that said, there's this aspect of unity where he says, first I do the work to unify you to me, and then it continues on a personal level. There's a command here, which it's not a self-help command. I want to make that clear because sometimes, even outside the church, people try to rid themselves of these things, right? It's when you read that list, not one of you is like, yeah, well, I'm keeping that because that's good for me, right? All of us know that list is like, that needs to go, right? And so people that don't have Christ as their savior know like, I need an anger management class. I'm struggling, right? And they'll go out. And they might even conquer that anger, but they have not conquered the gap. The earthly nature, that's an incredible thing he says. The earthly nature has been put to death. I did that.
Yeah.
And now you rid yourselves of all the strings attached kind of idea, the stuff that's like kind of around your ankles when you're crossing the bridge, like, I got to get rid of that. And he not only says, come across the bridge regardless, he says, I'm going to put my presence in you by the Holy Spirit to cut those chains. To your nature, your broken nature. No self-help book is gonna fix your broken nature. You might be a nicer person to your kids, but it's not going to fix your nature, the very core of who you are as a person.
Right. So we see there's two paths there, right? So once we come into reconciliation with God, right, you're going your way, God has his way. Once you bridge that gap and you come into a story with him, your stories are one now, right? But from then on, what this passage is really saying is when you're setting your mind on things above, you're choosing not to go back your way. Mm-hmm. And it's not that that's not going to happen. We're all going to do that, mm-hmm. right? We're all going to go back and we're going to stray because you know what? That's familiar. And it's mm-hmm. we can be addicted to our brokenness. Amen? Like, we can be absolutely like, that can be such a huge pull, even though that's been put to death by Christ. And we don't have to go there anymore, right? But it's still that pull. So what happens is we have two choices. Often during every day, there's moments where we have choices, right? We can either go our way or we can go God's way. And we even make those decisions consciously sometimes mm-hmm. where it's like, mm-hmm. oh, I know God's going to want me to do this, but he'll forgive me. It's fine, right? See, the danger in that is that once you cross that bridge and you go back into your side, right, then another decision is going to come up. And if you keep going in that direction, you're going to get really far back over on this side. Now, all it takes is for you to ask for forgiveness, and you can be right back into the story with God. But the farther you get away from it, the easier it is to ignore God. Mm-hmm. But the awesome thing is you take the other side. If you start going with God on his way, farther and farther this way, you keep making those decisions for God, it's a lot harder to get back the other direction. Mm-hmm. So that's what he's really calling us to. That's why we have to set our hearts and our minds on things above, not on earthly things. Guys, Christianity is the only religion, I want you to hear this, the only religion out there that you have to give up on yourself. A lot of Christianity is labeled still as you have to be a good person. Mm. Right? We've all heard that. We think Christians as Bible thumper goody two shoes, right? That's not what we're called to. We're called to authenticity, right? But Christianity is the only religion where you have to say, I cannot do this. I can't be good enough. I can't do this on my own. I can't fix me. Only God can do that. So you have to give up on yourself. You have to say, that's that commitment. God, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. Please take me. Please take this away from me.
I'll say too, yeah. I think what that looks like in our lives is a daily surrender.
Absolutely.
There's that moment, right, where you said that prayer this morning, some of you, and you bridge the gap, and you're marking on your card, and that was where your story with Christ started, right? That's incredible. But then there's this actual thing that called life, where we have to live it out and face those things, and it's yep. a daily surrender. And I think that that's even a practical, like before my feet hit the floor, Lord, help me today. I yeah. give you my life, not my way, but yours. And remind me today when I'm like wanting to go my way, remind me. Call me into conviction when I'm about to do that. It's that daily surrender to God to put to death that earthly nature.
Yeah. So we need to say, in order to tell the good news, we all know the good news now that we're in a relationship with God, right? We have to be the good news. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so verse 9 is pretty adamant here. It says, don't lie to each other. So the passage that Ashley just went through is talking about what we should do, right? Like we need to be this, we need to put away these things. Don't do this anymore, don't do that, right? But then Paul says here, don't lie to each other. We can't be fake about that. We can't pretend that we're putting those things away for the sake of the person next to us, because you know what? The person next to us isn't going to grow either mm-hmm. if we're not growing. Mm-hmm. And if they think that we're perfect, it's going to make them feel self-conscious, like there's something wrong with them. None of us are perfect. And we hope that you guys can see in Ashley and I's transparency that we're not pretending anything. But with that transparency side of things, look, we view this church as a hospital. And a church has to bring sick people in to be effective. If we have all perfect, completely healed people in here, one, that is impossible, but like, one, like, we're not going to really reach anybody for that either. If a bunch of, how would you feel if you were still broken and you walked into a room full of people who claim to be perfect? It'd be pretty awkward. You'd feel pretty weird about that, right? It's like going to the hospital and seeing your doctor every week and never telling them any of your symptoms. And like, well, I got all these aches and pains and stuff, but as soon as you talk to the doctor, you're like, no, I'm fine. Everything's great. I'm loving life. God's good. Amen. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm going to sing my songs next to this person and I'm going to pretend everything's good. And then I'm going to go home and I'm going to fall apart because my life is brokenness. Mm-hmm. That's going to do nobody any good, guys. We have to be real. Mm-hmm. We want people to come and feel comfortable in their brokenness so that they can receive healing. There's nothing to be ashamed of because we're all in the same place, right? There's nothing to be ashamed of in that. We all need healing on an equal level.
Yeah, I'll say too, with a good doctor, you know, you want to tell other people about that.
Yeah.
And you know, you're not, if you have a good doctor, you're not going to be going in there over and over and over again for 50 years like, I'm still sick with the same thing. And I think that's another side where it's like, either we're not transparent on the side where it's like, God is, you know, oh, everything's fine, it's fine. Or the other side is like, I'm not actually dealing with my son. I'm not actually coming before the Lord and saying, okay, we're going to actually deal with this. I'm going to take my medication on time. I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to, you know, if we're talking about that in those terms, you know. And so this, he's so cute, by the way. Don't worry about it. He's adorable. In this church, like, we really believe, like, God is going to bring healing to those things. And so the hope is, you know, 6 months or even, you know, sooner than that, that you may have walked in here. I know people in this room that 6 months ago were a completely different person before they came into contact with Jesus Christ. Completely different, to the point where people that have never met them but know them on Facebook mention it. What's going on with that girl? She's doing great. You know, that's an incredible thing. That's God. Amen. That's his work. And so when we come in here with transparency, that's what he offers us. It's not this, I keep going back, taking the same medication for my whole entire life, struggling with those things. So that's that, putting to death the earthly nature. That's a victory. It's absolutely victory. So with that, are you ready to move on? Sorry
Go
about
ahead.
That. Yeah. With that, the third point is unity culminates on a corporate level. And so if you see this as kind of levels, you see God bridges the gap, and then we continue in that personal, we bring it out personally, right? That's our role. And then it culminates on a corporate level. Then when we all come together, and this week, you know, when we come together and we say all week, each one of us has let God bridge the gap for us. We've come into his presence every day and said, not your will, but not my will, but yours. Do what you want in my life, even if it's hard. And then we come together and we worship on a corporate level. Then people see it.
Yeah.
Then you see communities transformed. Mm-hmm. Then you see cities where, you know, trouble and evil and abuse decline, like we've been talking about from Psalm 107. That's when unity impacts the world. So it culminates on a corporate level. And this is really interesting. He says in verse 11 here, he says, here on a corporate level, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, slave or free, don't know how to pronounce that word, but Christ is all and is in all. And what he's saying is, when you come together, when you've walked that out, when you let me bridge the gap and you continue on a personal level, then their background no longer matters.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you're a Greek, meaning you previously did not have access to relationship with God, or you're a Jew, like his chosen bloodline of people. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian and you've had no huge mistakes in your life, or you've wrecked the whole thing for 40, you know, some of us are like, amen, I wrecked it, right? It doesn't matter when you come in to corporate unity, because all are one. All are one together. That part, it goes away. So there's no comparison. There's no one person's better than the other.
Yeah. So we're going to be moving on into this list. This new list that he gives us. So first he told us what not to do. Essentially, don't do this anymore, right? But now he's telling us this is what you need to take on. You need to take on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, right? Mm-hmm. These are all fruits of the Spirit. And we need to recognize, one, as soon as you come into relationship with God, you have the Holy Spirit in you. That's promised to us. And he's our helper. He's our counselor. Jesus even said, it's better for me to go so that the Holy Spirit can come.
Mm-hmm.
That's even more powerful, right? And when we let the Holy Spirit live out through us, only when we let the Holy Spirit live out through us, can we really be truly compassionate, really truly be kind, humble, right? It's like going into a clothing shop, and God made all this amazing clothing, and you're out, you're shopping, right? Maybe you're even naked, and you are that desperate in need of something to cover you, right? And God has made these perfect things for you, right? And maybe they're called kindness and gentleness and compassion, right? Mm-hmm. It's our job to wear those. Mm-hmm. He's supplied it. It's right there. It's easy access for us. It's free. All we have to do is wear it and go out into the world and keep it on, mm-hmm. right? It's as easy as that. Mm-hmm. But the hard part about that, too, is that the only way that we grow in that is through conviction a lot of times. It's through the Holy Spirit telling us, hey, you're not wearing the kindness that I offer. You're not wearing the humility and the patience that I offer you. So what's going on, right? And sometimes we don't come to church and we don't read our Bible and we don't pray because we know that conviction is going to be waiting there for us, right? We've all been there. But guys, that's because we view conviction in this horrible way. We think of it as God wagging his finger at us, telling like, how could you? I can't believe you did that. Like, you need to be better. Go to your corner and sit and think about what you've done. That is absolutely not what conviction is. Conviction is God's profound belief in us to be who he's called us to be. So what he does is, it's not, don't do this. I can't believe that you're doing this. It's, come on. I believe in you. This is what you can do. This is what I have waiting for you right here. All you got to do is step up. All you got to do is walk in that, right? That's what he's doing. That's what conviction is. It's an amazing, amazing thing that we just have to embrace and say, thank you, God. Thank you so much that you love me enough that you want me to be better, mm-hmm. that you want me to be who you've called me to be. It's an amazing, amazing thing.
Yeah, you see in Scripture, when people sin or when they come into understanding of their shame, they often run and hide. I mean, from the very first sin, Adam and Eve, what'd they do? They ran and hid. And it's interesting, God asks this really profound question. He says, where are you? He knows where they are. But he's like, where are you? Like, you think you can hide from me? Yeah. And they tried to clothe themselves and cover it up and say, no, we didn't, you know. They're just, it's like they're making excuses or just running away from him because they're afraid. But really, guys, and that's our nature. That is when we sin, our nature is to be like, well, I'm just going to keep going down that path because I'm ashamed. Mm-hmm. I'm ashamed. And really what we should do is run right back into the arms of God. The second you sin, when you make a mistake and you know, like, that was wrong, the Spirit comes in and he convicts, you should run right back into his arms. Say, Lord, I'm sorry, but I'm here. Help me. Help me. And so we're going to have an opportunity this morning for you to maybe experience some conviction, some time with the Holy Spirit, and for you to run into his arms on these things, because this rest of this passage, he says, clothe yourself. So he says, take off all this stuff, but then put on this stuff, right? And this, he gives us a long list of things to put on. So we're going to have the worship team come up, because we're going to go right from this time into a time of worship, and we'll explain why. But I'm going to have you close your eyes, and I'm going to read this list to you. And you might feel that conviction come over you. The Spirit might say, whisper to you, this is where I want to work in your life. This is what I want you specifically to put on this morning. And so close your eyes. I'm going to read through this list. As I say a word on this list, if your heart is like, has that pang in it or whatever it is that's just like, oh, don't run away from that. Respond to it. Acknowledge it and say, Lord, I know you provide something different for me. Because ultimately, guys, we have to put this on for our own good, our own transformation, and for the transformation of the world around us, which starts with our families, our children, the people that look into our lives, our coworkers. This is how it happens. So I'm going to read this list to you. First, he says, put on compassion. Put on kindness. Put on humility. Gentleness. Patience. Bear with each other. Bear with each other, which says, I'm not going to abandon other people because of their junk, even if it affects me. Bear with each other. Forgive each other. Love each other. Put on love. Be compelled by love. says here, allow peace to rule in your heart. Peace. He says here, be thankful, be grateful. And then at the end of this, he says, all this is possible if the word of Christ dwells in you richly. Dwells in you richly. Then he says, and admonish one another with all wisdom, meaning encourage each other. And encouragement is not this fluffy language like, oh, you look pretty today. Okay, encouragement is instilling courage into other people, instilling it, bolstering other people in their faith with your words and with your life. As the Spirit is speaking to you now, I want to remind you that unity does not happen unless all three of these things come into play. Unless God bridges the gap and you walk over that bridge, unless you allow it to foster in your life on a personal level, you put to death that earthly nature, the things of the earthly nature holding on, and unless it culminates on a corporate level. You can't be unified without the corporate level. I love how he ends this. He says, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. What he says here is worship. When all three of these levels come together, then worship me. Worship me. There's something amazing about worshiping together as the body of Christ. It is the perfect environment for unity because, number one, we're encountering the presence of God, but we're doing it personally and corporately at the same time. So as we sing those songs, as those words come up on the screen, that's why we encourage people to sing. We know some of you are like, but I can't carry a tune, but that's okay. We encourage you to sing because as we all sing the same words and we proclaim the same vows and make the same statements and praise God with the same unified vision together, he does amazing things in our lives and in our church. So we're gonna do that morning. So as maybe you felt convicted, one of those words or five of those words or all of those words stood out to you, this is your time to run into the arms of God and to worship and to say, I give that to you. Help me with it. I'm going to pray for us before we do this. Father, I praise you for how you meet us. God, I thank you for your gentle nature. God, that you don't come in with a bulldozer, Father, but you do come in strong. And we thank you for that, Lord, that you don't leave us to figure it out on our own. This isn't a self-help book, Father. This is a soul issue. And we thank you that we simply show up to relationship with you, and you do this incredible thing. You renew us. You transform us. You forgive us. And you empower us to walk it out. Father, I pray this morning as we come together as a body, Lord, would we just be able to feel that tangible presence, God, your arms like your fingertips wrapping around our shoulders, reminding us it's okay. I have what you need.